Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. All right, we have a quick docket today. First, the Ghislaine Maxwell trial resumes. And second, the case of Miss Potter. Remember the police officer who mistakenly reached for her gun instead of her taser? And then our dumb criminal of the day. Let's talk about it. Thanks for watching. It's Thursday, December 16th. Before we get to the docket, though, first, if you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button. Also, hit that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. Now, for those of you who missed our Tuesday After Dark, which is kind of usually our Tuesday night live, well, guess what? We had a very interesting conversation with a former police officer and now private investigator, one that I use. That is not only up, but you can also listen to it on any podcast. So, remember, if you can't watch us, you can always listen to us on any podcast where you get your podcasts today. All right, let's get to the docket. First, Ghislaine Maxwell, the trial resumes, and the defense is getting ready to call their witnesses in the case. Now, as you may recall, this trial was supposed to last for 6 weeks. The government said they thought that their case in chief was going to last most of that time. They ended after the second week. They ended early. First, the judge should be livid that the government said they were going to take that much time, and then they didn't, because all the cases that could have been tried after that and other court matters, not instilling trust and confidence with the United States attorneys for sure. Now, the matter was set over because the government ended their case so quickly that the defense needed time to get their witnesses there because they thought they weren't going to be needed for several more weeks. So they resume today. Now, one of the issues before the court, and the court ruled on it, was the fact that the defense would like some of their witnesses to testify anonymously or under a pseudonym, just like the prosecutor had witnesses do so in their case in chief. And of course, what happened? The defense asked for it. The prosecution objects. Now, why would the prosecution object? Well, they're saying they're not really victims. They're just people that are going to take the stand. Now, first of all, I got a real problem with anybody testifying under a pseudonym in any way. If you're willing to make an allegation, you should be able to come to court and have your name and the allegation that you're making be broadcast to the world. But in this particular case, the prosecution objected because they wanted their cake and eat it too. It's only for our witnesses, not the defense witnesses. Well, the judge says the defense witnesses can, in fact, testify under a pseudonym as well, because frankly, that is just fairness for everybody involved. I just think it's a little ironic, but this is what the government does. Let us do it our way, and you can't do it because you're the defense. And then fortunately, the judge ruled that, hey, if I allowed you to do it, I'm going to allow the defense to do it as well. Now, the first witness that the defense was calling was the secretary to that guy named Jeff, and we'll give you more information as that becomes available. Wouldn't it be nice if that case was in fact televised? Man, I wish it was. All right. Next on the docket, the case of Kim Potter. Well, the prosecution rested their case against Kim Potter. Now, she's the former Minneapolis police officer charged with the shooting death of the black motorist Dante Wright. Now, Potter said that she meant to use her taser instead of her gun as Wright was pulling away from the officers at a traffic stop. Now, Potter's attorneys have argued that she would have been within her right to use deadly force, even if she had intended to do so, because a fellow officer was endangered by Wright's attempt to flee. Now, prosecutors yesterday, right before they rested, called police witnesses to build their argument that Potter was an experienced officer who's been thoroughly trained in the use of tasers, including warnings about the danger of confusion with a handgun. Now, during Wednesday's testimony, the use of force experts for the prosecution, Seth Stoughton, testified for the prosecution that Potter acted unreasonably in the shooting of Wright. Now, Stoughton reminded jurors that Potter warned that she was about to use her taser on Wright and said a reasonable officer would not have decided to use a taser if they thought there was an imminent threat of death or great bodily harm. Now, Stoughton said deadly force would have been inappropriate even if Potter believed another officer was in the car because of the risk that nearby officers or Wright's passengers could have been shot. He further said that it appeared that Wright was going to drive away. Shooting would make things worse because he could be incapacitated and the vehicle itself would become a weapon. Now, during cross-examination, Staunton's expertise, including his experience as a police officer, was questioned. The attorneys asked Mr. Staunton to agree that Wright would not have been shot if he hadn't tried to get away. He then fired a series of questions to Staunton to point out that Wright did not stop resisting the officers despite Potter's warning. I've actually been watching this trial as much as I can over this last couple of days. Last week has been very busy. And let me tell you, I think the prosecution rested after 8 days. Okay, this whole case is about a 4-day trial, and now it's been spread over 2 to 3 weeks. It's absolutely ridiculous. The facts are not in question, and the prosecution keeps bringing the same witnesses in over and over again to say the same thing, that Potter was a good cop and that she had received training in regards to the taser. And the judge is allowing in all sorts of character evidence that Officer Potter was a good police officer. She was a union rep. She assisted with domestic violence classes and things of that nature, or she was very focused on domestic violence victims and things like that. Really went over well. She was a good police officer. I don't think anybody disputes that. She made a big mistake. The question is it a mistake or is it criminal conduct? Let me tell you what the prosecution case is here in a nutshell. She was negligent because she reached for her taser instead of her gun. Clearly, the mistake was made. She acknowledged that immediately after the shooting. It's all captured on body camera. That's what I'm saying. The facts are not in dispute. The defense case is rather simple. She made a mistake. It's not criminal conduct. And even if she did grab her gun, she was justified in shooting Mr. Wright because, well, he's a bad guy. He's a dangerous guy. And he was pulling away. That's the defense case right there. The jury's going to have a difficult time deciding because clearly, she should not have reached for her firearm when she thought she was reaching for her taser. The question is it criminal conduct? That's what juries are going to have to decide in this particular case. Let me know what you think should happen in this particular case. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever. But if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship. You're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal of the day. That's right. His first name is McRoberts, McRoberts. Williams, McRoberts Williams. He's 44, robbed a Wells Fargo bank branch in Delaware, walked out the front door and deposited some of the stolen money into his bank account via at the ATM at the bank that he just robbed. Now, investigators say Williams approached the teller and handed her a note reading, "This is a robbery. I need $150. Mr. Williams fled on foot to a nearby shopping center where he was taken into custody by state troopers. When questioned, Mr. Williams claimed he arrived in Delaware by riding the exterior of a cargo train and that his mind is currently being controlled by a third party via an implant located somewhere in his body. Now, Mr. Williams has been charged with a felony robbery count and is being held on a $6,000 bond. Now, obviously, that is some dumb conduct. Clearly, sounds like there may be some mental health issues there as well. But that's right, Mr. Williams, you are our dumb criminal of the day. All right. Apologize for the quick, fast, down and dirty program today. It's just been crazy busy, and I got to go take care of something else. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.